I'm Connor Cyrus, one of the hosts of Vermont Edition, and I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. We saved you some time to get it right, so you only have the good stuff. I hope you enjoy. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. A new report by the Energy Action Network, a nonprofit that tracks Vermont's emissions and puts out this report, says Vermont is not on track to meet its carbon emissions goals by 2030. And these are more than just goals. They are legally binding requirements under the Global Warming Solutions Act, which state lawmakers passed in 2020. The report says significant action needs to be taken in the state's transportation and thermal sectors. To help give us more information about what the report says and why Vermont isn't on track, I want to welcome Jared Duvall. He's the executive director of the Energy Action Network. Jared, welcome.
Thanks, Connor. Glad to be with you.
So, Jared, I want to start with Vermont is not on track to reach its carbon emissions goals by 2030. What does that mean for everyday Vermonters?
Thanks, Connor. I just want to start by making a couple of important distinctions. One is, with the passage of the Global Warming Solutions Act, what had formerly been mere goals were turned into legally binding requirements. That word goals was actually struck from state law, and in its place was put the word requirements that shall be met. And I also want to say that, you know, this is an important distinction. Our report doesn't say that we will not meet the goals by 2030, but it does say very clearly that we are not on track to right now, and that we will very almost certainly not be able to without major policy action that has so far failed to occur. And what this means for Vermonters is, I think there's two things here that go together. One is our sense of responsibility to step up to a scientific and moral imperative around the climate crisis. But the other is what it means for our costs and for Vermont's economy overall. And thankfully, the thing that we need to do to both meet that scientific and moral imperative and to reduce energy costs for Vermonters and improve the Vermont economy is one and the same. And that is reducing our dependence, getting off of 100% imported, high cost, price volatile fossil fuels in favor of energy that is both cleaner and lowers emissions and also lowers costs, provides more price stability, and keeps more dollars recirculating locally here in Vermont.
Now, this might be a silly question, but legally binding, I think of somebody can get sued. So who would be sued and where would that money go and come from?
Yeah, so my understanding, and I need to preface this by saying that, you know, I do data tracking and analysis with regard to energy and emissions. I am not a legal expert, so I would defer to others on that question. But my understanding is that there is a cause of action within the Global Warming Solutions Act that allows individuals, organizations to take legal action against the state of Vermont. It wouldn't be for monetary damages. This has actually happened in other states. And one of the reasons that I think this report is so important is to give a warning that we are off track so that legal action doesn't occur. It is in everybody's interest that we actually pass the policies that can get us on track rather than defaulting to or being forced into a court-ordered regulatory, much blunter approach. I can't comment too much on the legal side of things, but what I do know very clearly is that we are not on track. Being on track requires actually passing policies. There were three major emissions reduction recommendations made by the Vermont Climate Council in the Climate Action Plan. One was the Clean Heat Standard, the other was joining the Transportation and Climate Initiative, and the third was advancing, as we've already done, continuing to join California in their clean car rules. So the new rule is called Advanced Clean Cars 2, and that would increase the requirement of zero emission vehicles that automobile manufacturers have to deliver to Vermont. But what has happened is only one of those policy recommendations is moving forward, and that is Advanced Clean Cars 2. That's in rulemaking right now. That is an incredibly important piece of the strategy. But on its own, modeling by both Energy Action Network and contractors hired by the state of Vermont, has shown that that will likely only contribute about 10 to 14% of the needed emissions reductions by 2030. So it is vitally important, but on its own, it's insufficient. And until and unless we pass policies focused on reducing emissions and reducing our dependence on high-cost, price-volatile fossil fuels in the transportation and thermal sectors, we can't have any confidence that we're going to be able to meet these legal requirements.
What are the unique challenges that Vermont has in trying to do this? After all, Vermont is a small state trying to undo a lot at once. How much does that play into the lack of success or not being on track?
I think that one of the biggest challenges is just inertia. But I think in terms of being able to get beyond inertia, one of the great things we have going for us is the example of other states and provinces, many of them also rural and smaller, that have actually taken the policy actions that have proven to be able to confidently reduce emissions. And we don't have to look very far. And we've actually done this ourselves. There's really two broad policies that can give us confidence in achieving emissions reductions. One are called emissions cap policies. Sometimes they're cap and invest policies or cap and reduce policies. Oregon has one, Quebec has one, Nova Scotia has one, California has one. Vermont actually has one for our electricity sector. It's called the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. The other broad suite of policies that have been able to do this are called performance standards. And they put a requirement on the fossil fuel importers to reduce pollution over time and help people transition to cleaner and lower cost alternatives. And we have that in Vermont as well. It's called the Renewable Energy Standard. But both of those two strategies right now are only being applied for the electricity sector. Thankfully, it's helped reduce our electricity sector emissions so that it's only 2% of overall emissions in Vermont. But what it has left out is the elephant in the room, the moose on the table, of 74, nearly three quarters of the climate pollution in Vermont comes from the transportation and thermal sectors. And we have failed to utilize those proven policy strategies in the places where there's actually the most pollution and the highest cost that we want to bring down.
I want to go to the phones and I want to talk to Rick in Brattleboro. Rick, welcome to Vermont Edition. I'm going to ask you politely to please be quick because we are running out of time.
I understand. In more ways than one. I would love to have a long conversation with your guest on the subject, because I'm aware that we could do housing and also transportation without using any energy input. The Aptera automobile, which is about to come out, is self-charging. It's good for 40 to 100 miles a day, self-charging electric car. It has also been possible to build for a half century without needing space heating or cooling.
Rick, can we get to your question?
The question is, how do I connect with him to help forward these policies in a way that really works in a comprehensive way?
Thank you so much for that call, Rick. So I do want to get to one of the points he made, which is about housing and transportation, which we were talking about. Rick, what I'll do is we'll have a link to we can put his information on our website. Jared. We'll have Jared's contact information on our website. But I do want to talk about housing and transportation to Rick's point. How do we move on from that, and how do we meet these goals through that?
So one of the things that we did at the very beginning of the formation of the Climate Council was to model how the legal requirements for emissions reduction could be met. And I think one of the really important takeaways is that those requirements are achievable. The modeling that we've done here at the Energy Action Network, that the Vermont Climate Council did, shows that we have proven an existing technologies and best practices that we know can reduce emissions and reduce costs. Everything from home weatherization to heat pump water heaters to heat pumps to advanced wood heat to electric vehicles to, you know, increasing transit options. And so those are things that not only can reduce emissions, but the modeling that was done by the state, this is so important, also shows that if we do that, as recommended in the Climate Action Plan, Vermont stands to save $6.4 billion by 2050 in avoided energy costs and in damages. And the reason that can happen is because fossil fuels, we ignore it because it's the status quo. But what we have to remember is how costly and harmful they are, and that when we get off them, it's not just about meeting a scientific and moral imperative. It's also about seizing an economic opportunity that can reduce energy costs for Vermonters and reinvest in our economy here, rather than sending so much of our money, 75 cents of every dollar, to fossil fuel exporting countries.
To people listening in that, and they want to make a difference in this last minute, what can they do to help get Vermont back on track?
I think that there's really two things. One is at the societal level and one's at the personal level. And I want to start with societal because I think too often we guilt people into thinking that they should be doing this all on their own. And that's just not possible until and unless we have policy action. So I think that people need to be in touch with their elected officials, with their state government, about actually passing proven and effective policies to reduce pollution and costs in the transportation and thermal sectors. On an individual level, I think one of the most important things is to make a commitment to never purchase another piece of fossil fuel dependent equipment when there is an affordable electric or renewable alternative. And that is increasingly possible with all of the incentives out there. We can get off of fossil fuels, and that can help our economy, help our budgets, and meet these legal and moral requirements.
We're going to have to leave it there. That's Jared Duvall, the Executive Director for the Energy Action Network. Jared, thanks for explaining where Vermont is and these important emissions goals. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Connor.